Hi everyone, I'm Mark Casper. Welcome to another No Spoiler Reviews podcast. As promised at the end of our last roundtable episode, we promised to bring you our thoughts on the hits and misses of the Oscars 2022 ceremony. And here it is. Have a listen now.
Hey everyone, welcome to another No Spoiler Reviews podcast. We promised you an Oscar roundup, which unfortunately got mired on the last podcast. But I'm meeting up today with David Morricon from Explainer. Hey David.
Hi Mark, how are you?
I'm good. So obviously the big talking point, is it worth talking about now? Let's leave it till later. What did you think about the runners and riders, the winners and losers?
Right. Listen, I mean, I had to watch the Oscars when they actually happened live and live blog and so on and so forth. And I have to admit, it was an Oscar ceremony for me that was memorable for kind of all the wrong reasons. Mostly because of the choices that were made. Because there were some quite fantastic films that were nominated in each category. And I have to admit, this kind of list of winners does feel like a little bit of a throwback, considering previous years where there were some risks being taken. Listen, I think we can start off with the big one, Best Picture,
yep.
Won by Coda. So,
yes.
Yeah, bit of a surprise, and not really, because in the last few weeks there was some gaining momentum for the film. And I have to admit, it was, in my opinion, one of the weakest films that was nominated this year alongside Don't Look Up. And I would have been quite happy with anyone else winning the top prize rather than Coda. Not that I dislike Coda. I think it's a perfectly well-judged and effective family drama, coming-of-age film. But it feels a little bit like if you were to award the Oscar to Little Miss Sunshine,
yeah.
Really.
And, well, it's a coming-of-age story again, so...
It is, and it is also the little indie movie that could.
Sure.
Because it had its debut at Sundance, it was bought by Apple TV, and it is a historic win in that sense, because
yeah.
It's the first film by a streamer, yeah. First original film by a streamer to win, so Apple TV have pipped Netflix to the post there, because Netflix was...
Sure.
Counting on the power of the dog to win.
Sure.
And the main upset, really, and I thought that the power of the dog was going to win. It was either that, or I thought Belfast might have an outsider's chance because of its kind of sentimental tone, which is very kind of Oscar baity in that respect. Mm-hmm. But Coda, for me, I mean, again, a very slight film, and I kind of feel bad for it because it's a perfectly good and effective film.
No, I think you're being harsh.
But
there.
A film I'm which, sadly, I think will draw negative backlash against it, which I think is rather unfair because it is a decent film, but I don't think it deserved to win the top prize.
I think it depends on how you look at Oscar. I think if you look at Oscar in the sense of it being like a contact sport, where there are lobbies and campaigns and God knows what, everything else, Coda was a safe choice for the Academy.
Very much so.
It wasn't really too controversial. It pressed all the do-good buttons. And in that sense, it's not really that much of a surprise that it got what it got. And in that sense, I'm okay with it being the best picture. All of those nominated were kind of, broadly speaking, worthy nominations. And yet, I agree with you, in that company, Coda did look a little bit the poorer cousin.
Kind of, and especially if you have films like Hamaguchi's Drive My Car or Power of the Dog or you know, those kind of films which genuinely, I think, are far stronger, far worthier winners.
But if you see it from a political connotation, then I'm cool with it winning.
Okay.
But again, it wasn't an Oscars where there was going to be one movie that was just going to sweep the board and wipe everything away. I'm a little unhappy with the individual categories. I mean...
Yes, no, same.
Denzel should have taken it home. Denzel, at the end, ended up going home being the man of the hour.
Absolutely.
Later on in the evening, but we'll come on to that. Will Smith, if you're going to give him an Oscar, as I think I may have mentioned before, you give it to him for Ali. But on this occasion, when I was watching the film, I thought it was a good performance, a strong performance, but I wasn't thinking Oscar potential. I mean, it's not as if Denzel needs another Oscar statuette. Benedict would have been a bit of a squeak for me. It was a really good performance, and yes, I did have that moment when I was watching Power of the Dog thinking, yes, this has got Oscar potential about it. Mm-hmm. But Denzel was like, not so much, okay, bitches, this is how you do Shakespeare. But I was thinking to myself, with the exception of Benedict, if you put the other nominees in Macbeth, how well would they have fared?
Yes.
And yeah. It becomes a two-horse race between Benedict and Denzel at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I see what you mean. I mean, look, it was kind of always Will Smith's year. I didn't particularly like the film too much. It was fine. I thought his performance was grand, but I don't, again, a kind of weaker one. And I will say this, like the two main acting awards, same goes for Jessica Chastain for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. I really, really didn't like that film.
Sorry, Olivia Colman got robbed.
She did. Oh, no, yeah. And again, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, just, I didn't like the film. I thought her performance was just all makeup and prosthetics.
But also there's an American martyrdom thing there as well going on. It sort of plays into the, oh, somebody's done wrong. But then they try to correct this heinous act that they are a part of. And it's like, okay, this really plays well with the home crowd. But if I'm looking at just nuts and bolts acting prowess, no.
Yeah, I mean, I feel about the two main acting categories is that I would have rather anyone else had won it. I think that Olivia Colman should have won. I think that Kirsten Stewart should have been there as well. I just really think that they went for the two really obvious choices, and it's a real shame.
If I was going to give Jessica Chastain the Best Actress Oscar, I would have given it for A Most Dangerous Year.
Yes, sure.
She was properly amazing in that film.
Yes, no, I agree. For supporting actor, I think Troy Sekou was very good in Coda. I think he carries that film, so why not give it to him?
There's two great scenes in that film, and he's responsible for both of them.
Yes, so, exactly. Yeah. And Ariana DeBose for West Side Story, absolutely, that's fine. I have absolutely no qualms there. I think that, unfortunately, with regards to this year, it just felt like a really safe choice, and all that these awards were almost like a throwback to the early, like, 2000s to playing it safe. Regarding other categories, I mean, I think that, Dune did very well with all the technical categories. I think it won 6 in the end, if I'm not mistaken.
That was always going to be Dune's strong suit.
Absolutely, and I'm very happy about that. I'm less happy about the Oscars' decision to kind of pre-record those segments, and especially when it comes to editing, because editing is such... I mean, you know, it is a little bit like the Oscars have forgotten that...
There's filmmaking involved.
Yes, that essentially filmmaking is a collaborative medium
as
opposed
to
anything else.
It's meant to be a technical award show that has acting and other things in it.
Right, exactly. And I think it's a real shame that they did that for the sake of ratings and keeping the telecast a little bit shorter this year. But yeah, no, on the whole, I think it was a very underwhelming year when it comes to the films that were awarded. Of course, Drive My Car took home Best International Feature, which I'm very happy about, and I think that was a foregone conclusion, but a good one. I was very, very disappointed when it came to the Screenplay Awards, because original screenplay went to Belfast, and I think the worst person in the world was robbed there, and quite frankly, I just don't see why Belfast won that one. And also Best Adapted Screenplay, which went to Coda, and it was kind of at that point where you were like, okay, right, well then Coda's gonna go home with the top award. And it's a bit of a shame, because with regards to Best Adapted Screenplay, I think it's a real shame. Especially one thing that really bothered me is that during all of the acceptance speeches for Coda, at no point was it mentioned that it's a French remake of the 2014 film La Famille Bélier.
Yeah.
And at no point were they kind of said or acknowledged. And I find that really, really grating, especially because Coda is a remake. You can't just escape that.
I think, for me, the Best Adapted Screenplay category was a two-horse race. And it was for the same reason. Taking a huge, mammoth, impenetrable text and shrinking it down to something small, accessible, lightweight, and yet not shortchanging on the subtext and the meaning and the themes. And that has to be Dune.
Yes.
And Tragedy of Macbeth.
And also, I will say Power of the Dog. Because that is an epic, epic novel, and they really did well with it. And I think to give it to Coda is just really baffling to me. But yeah, and aside from that, yeah, so I have to admit, as an overall ceremony and an overall, you know, list of laureates, it is just a very underwhelming year.
So do you think Oscar is something really worth staying up for? Because back in the day, it was appointment TV, admittedly during the time when you could watch it in the hours of normalcy as opposed to in the depths of the early morning.
Yes.
But I used to go to Oscar looking for the films that passed me by, the really great films that were amazing, were wonderful, and getting me to see films I might have missed out on. I don't feel that now.
I see what you mean. I think, you know, we are in the privileged position to have seen the majority of these films before as critics. The thing is that, I mean, the Oscars this year were essentially fighting a battle for relevancy, specifically because last year were the lowest viewing figures ever. And they really needed, hence why they had three hosts again, the first time since 2018, a curtailed running time. And I think they really just didn't do that well. And even the way that it was shot, the shots were very different. It was a lot of close-ups. And I didn't quite buy it. I wasn't with it as much as previous ceremonies. And, yeah, to answer your question, I'm not sure. I think it is an important ceremony in the sense that, you know, these are the main acting awards. We all know that it's all about campaigning. We know how the strings are pulled. However, in past years, there have been, like I said, some more daring choices and some more valid choices with regards to, say, Moonlight, Parasite, and Nomadland, which was really not an Oscar-baity film. It's not an Oscar film to the extent that it really was taking some risks.
I mean, okay, Oscar is really clearly tampering with the format now. And trying to, you know, we'll get rid of the supposedly boring categories where you don't have A-listers picking up awards for cinematography or editing or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Do you think we could possibly just get away with awards entirely and just have the red carpet and then just publish the results?
I think so. And I mean, like, look, the Golden Globes this year were not done for obvious reasons because there was so much controversy with regards to their voting system and diversity and so on and so forth. Yeah. And they just published the results. Maybe that is the way to go. I don't know. What I do know is that having watched the whole ceremony live, it is very, very grating because they did these little clips where they had, like, pop stars, rock stars, just kind of... It was a very cynical way of trying to essentially lure a younger audience and to make it more palatable to them in that kind of short clip, short attention span kind of thing. And I don't know, I just didn't buy it. And again, just what a real shame that the Oscars decided to do some of those categories pre-recorded. Because, yeah, filmmaking is a collaborative medium and films are made in the editing suite. And films need all these technical categories and to essentially draw a line and say, hey, these are the lesser ones and these are the ones that we choose to show, is deeply insulting.
Okay, so I've got a lovely bridge link coming up here now.
Yes.
So if we agree that we don't necessarily need the same amount of gushing plaudits and backslapping, then maybe they should just take the slapping out completely.
Oh, I see what you did there. Oh, beautiful. Beautiful, seamless, and masterful. You're a poet. Listen, yeah, this is the main reason why essentially the 2022 Oscars will be remembered.
Yeah.
Is that, to give a bit of background, as everyone knows by now, Chris Rock was presenting the award. He made a joke, as comedians do, to which Will Smith took umbrage. He went up on stage, slapped comedian Chris Rock, and then in that moment, watching it, I thought, oh, this is a performative stunt. This is they've planned this. This is part of the deal. And then when he sat down and started yelling expletives at the stage, which is keep my wife's name out of your fucking mouth, over and over again, it became very clear that it was actually a real thing, a very disproportionate thing, and a very pathetic thing from my point of view.
My first reaction was, that's the wrong joke and that's the wrong reaction. Then I was thinking, okay, so... what is Will Smith trying to do? Will Smith is trying to make Chris Rock feel ashamed for having made a crass joke. Well, if he wants to do that, and he wants to do it publicly, he could walk up to Chris Rock, put his head next to the microphone and say, it's a medical condition, you insensitive asshole, think again.
Yeah.
And then retire.
Absolutely.
And that would be enough.
Use your words, and at that point it would have been like a noble thing to do and the right thing to do. The thing is that, yes, the joke was careless, but that at these award ceremonies, when you have comedians coming up on stage, they make jokes at your expense because you are these multi-millionaires who are here for a back-slapping session. You can take it. And I'm sorry, like I have to admit, like I went back and forth with this because no matter how you look at it, even if it was a crass joke or not an appropriate joke to make, it's been done before, and I'm sorry, either A, use your words, or B, don't react disproportionately like that, even in the heat of the moment, because no matter how you cut it, physical violence, physical assault, is not the way you deal with a bad joke. Well, it never is.
That's the big deal, is the fact that in that moment, he felt that the only recourse that he had deal with the situation was violence.
Which is, I'm sorry, why it is completely unacceptable. And I'm not suggesting we're not all human, that we don't make mistakes. And he has since apologised, not during his speech, but afterwards. But the thing is, and this is what really got me, I have to admit, is that moment was shocking. And that moment was a moment that we will now talk about forever as one of those big Oscar moments.
We're not talking about the movies, we're now talking about
exactly, the
controversy.
Exactly. And it's overshadowed everything else. It's taken the spotlight off other people, Questlove taking his Oscar for the best documentary,
yep,
and everyone else who were entitled to their moment because they'd worked hard, and now we're all talking about this. I understand why we're talking about it, but it is a genuine, genuine shame. And also, the annoying thing with that is several minutes later, to make matters worse, Will Smith wins his Oscar for Best Actor for King Richard,
yep,
and he gets a standing ovation and applause, and then goes on, literally in that tearful speech, which really made me cringe, of saying, you know, it's all about protecting your family, and it's all about how he wants to be a vessel for love. And that's a direct quote. And the thing is that I'm sorry, this is such a damning indictment of Hollywood and the hypocrisy of all these kind of socially conscious, oh, it's all about peace, love and understanding. I am sorry, if you applaud and give a standing ovation to a man who has several minutes prior physically assaulted someone, I am sorry, I think the Oscar should be stripped from him.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
Right, because he has violated Academy regulations, and I'm sorry, if you want to actually send a message, regardless of whether he deserved the Oscar for that role or not, that's neither here nor there. And again, people are allowed to react wrongly in certain situations. No one is above making the wrong decision at the right time. But the thing is that here, the Academy should be like, look, we're terribly sorry, but you can't physically assault someone on stage for a joke you didn't like and then go on to win an Oscar and be celebrated for it. And on top of it, talk about being a vessel for love.
But here's the doubly interesting thing, because we actually now have the benefit of talking about this a couple of days hence. It's weird that in the entertainment world, there always seems to be this redemptive arc, this way back from some heinous act that you may be responsible for.
Yes.
But running with the idea that he loses the Oscar or it's taken away from him, then what do they do with the Best Actor category? Do they just go, okay, this year nobody won, which probably is the path of least resistance.
Yes.
Or they do another count up of the votes, which obviously we can't corroborate because nobody gets to see how many votes go for who.
Mm.
And then they award it to somebody else.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will do that. I think the best that they can do is that, you know, he won the Oscar, but he is still stripped of it as a kind of performative kind of slap on the wrist kind of measure of just like, this is not how you behave. And it goes to show for future ceremonies that you just use your fucking words. Again, I'm sorry to like repeat this, but exactly as you said, he should have behaved in another way. He should have gone up, taken the mic and just said, look, this is not on, sorry, I do have to say something. And that would have been something in and of itself. But you don't physically assault someone, you just don't, I'm sorry. And again, the thing is, I know I'm labouring the point, but you don't talk afterwards about being a vessel for love and protecting your family and so on and so forth. If you behave like that, you don't.
So where do you think the Oscar ceremony go from this? They're stripping categories, taking them off TV,
yes,
shrinking everything down, And now maybe they're going to need like football barriers between the stage and the crowd.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's not the first time that somebody's rushed the stage in one of these awards shows.
No.
And
it's also not the first time that people like the Golden Globes were famous for it.
Yeah.
Specifically during the Ricky Gervais years
of
taking the piss out of people. And these jokes, you take them in the way that they're intended and given.
Okay.
But there is already a code of conduct, whether it's, you know, dress-wise and so on and so forth. But I think
that one gets broken year on year.
Yeah, my God, Timothée Chalamet was rocking not wearing a shirt. But let's move on from...
He's a young lad. He can get away with it. Good for him.
Oh, my God. Him and his stellar abs. But the thing is that they just essentially need to react better to this than... Because the Oscars did put out a statement afterwards that said, we don't condone violence in any form, blah, blah, blah. But I think there needs to be a certain sanction there. Again, you can see it both ways, but the problem is, when you take a step back, we are speaking about this more than the films. And it shows to what extent as well, because, you know, we're talking about this incident more than the films and more than the accolades. Because as much as we can celebrate the fact that it's the first deaf actor to ever win an acting Oscar, Ariana DeBose being the first openly queer person of colour, mm-hmm. and only the second Latina and the first Afro-Latina woman to win an Oscar.
Yeah.
All these, you know, great landmarks. And again, Jane Campion winning Best Director, as she should.
Yeah,
it is. And the third time that it's ever happened for a female director. And also the first time that it's happened 2 years in a row because of Chloe Zhao last year. Again, these are things worth celebrating. And for their efforts, for their talents, and for the films that they put out there. And we are talking about a man who behaved in a very, very toxic way, and it's a real, real shame.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like I said at the beginning of this conversation, we will sadly remember the 94th Oscars for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Who are the glaring omissions? Who are the people who should have been, you know, if not on for statuettes, at least on for nominations?
Good question. I think it's a real shame that Flea didn't win anything. I think the worst person in the world definitely deserved to win something. I think these are glaring omissions. I still think Titan should have potentially been a French entry for Best International Feature. And like we said before, that, you know, it's been, last year was a very, very strong year for cinema, purely because of the pandemic, a lot of films got pushed back and we got so many wonderful films. And yeah, well, I mean, what about you?
But do you think that's down to the selection criteria? Do you think there were stronger films out there? Or do you just think it just turns out that it just wasn't a very strong year?
No, I think it had the potential to be a very strong year. Whether or not I'm ill-placed to say whether it's the selection criteria or otherwise, but I think it's just a real shame that a lot of films were overlooked in favour of laureates that really reflect quite how good 2021 was as a year in film.
Because this is the thing. With Oscar, there are known, how can I put it, black holes that it never wants to embrace. Never wants to embrace horror.
Yes, true. Like, the only time it happened recently was with Get Out, I think, in 2017, with Jordan Peele for Best Original Screenplay. But I think, yeah, like, for example, why not create a stuntman category?
Yeah.
Why not create, but celebrate other genres like horror? Because it's been wonderful, whether it's Titan, Saint Maud, so many really, really strong films, and in a genre which, you know, I have a particular affinity for.
Sure.
I just wish that the Oscars took a bit more risks, which they have done in the past few years. And I really wish that there could have been a bit more of that this year.
But do you think this risk-taking is a result of criticism or of the fact that, oh, we're not going to change until somebody complains?
I think there's probably the latter.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but I think it's probably the latter category, yeah. But what about you? Like, I mean, films that you think were unfairly overlooked, even if they were nominated and lost or weren't nominated at all?
It's a difficult one because I didn't necessarily want Dune to win all of the awards. You know, the safe option when dealing with sci-fi or fantasy is to give them the Craft Awards.
Mm.
And I felt that for the first 10-15 minutes, I was like, wow, exposition, and momentum and character development all in the space of one scene, and it feels light and breezy and natural, and this is amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and I'm glad Dune did well. No, I'm trying to rattle my brain, like, what are the films? I mean, as you know, there are the majority of the films in a category I very much like is Best Foreign Film, now Best International Feature. And as much as Drive My Car was always going to win, and I'm glad that it did, you know, Worst Person in the World, what do we see when we look at the sky? The Georgian film last year,
yeah,
which was absolutely fantastic. Hit the Road, also brilliant. And I completely understand that you need to essentially limit it to five, but I still think there's essentially a whole bunch of films that were far more worthy winners than the list of winners that we now have.
But here's the other thing, is that we would complain, or we would say that Oscar is too middle of the road, it's too populist, and yet you knew going into the season, going into the campaigns, that say Spider-Man No Way Home was never going to be part of the conversation. It's a huge feel-good movie, done huge box office, and yet was never going to be in the sniff of anything outside of a technical award.
Right, right. I mean, I think that the Oscars have addressed that to a point, because they nominated, say, Black Panther, for example.
Yeah, but I think that was them recognising that that was a cultural moment.
Yes.
More than rewarding a good film.
No, absolutely agree with you on that one. I think, I mean, look, listen, the Oscars, and they tried this year, and I don't know if you saw, got massively trolled, because they did this kind of audience voting online for the best film moments and the best film, and essentially the fans of Zack Snyder voted in their droves, and it was pathetic to kind of just see that essentially it was Army of the Dead and Zack Snyder's Justice League got all those things. So I don't think they'll be doing that again. But the thing is that this year in particular, I think, was an absolute missed opportunity.
So do you think there are any festivals that you could look at and kind of go, there you are, there's an example, that's a festival that's getting right, there's something that Oscars could learn from?
Ooh, good question. I don't know if I'm equipped to answer it. I think, you know, obviously Venice has always been a major film festival that has been an Oscar launch pad. Films like Spencer, The Power of the Dog, Dune, all premiered there. So Venice has always been one of those kind of bellwether festivals, so to speak. I think Cannes are doing very well in that respect, because you had films like Parasite and Worst Person in the World last year that premiered there. I don't know if the Oscars can learn anything, nor do they necessarily want to learn anything.
But there you are, you just kind of hit the nail on the head. Do they want to learn anything?
Not really. I think what they were really hoping for this year more than anything else was to get a ratings boost.
I think the thing that Cannes actually gets right is with its category, Prix d'un certain regard, where it's like, okay, cool, we've got a prize for films that don't necessarily fit within prescribed categories, and yet still an amazing film.
Right, right.
And Titan could have fitted in that quite nicely.
Very nicely indeed, yes. But I mean, then again, like, you know, these films that are in Satarga are always kind of, or any others, I mean, the countries they belong to essentially put them up for Best International Picture kind of thing. So I don't know. I mean, the long and short of it is that, you know, I don't think the Oscars will change much. I think that this year is what it is. You know, the films weren't particularly memorable for the majority of the main winners. And I think I would have still said the same thing if Power of the Dog won, just so that's clear. Because, I mean, as much as I like The Power of the Dog, I don't know if it's necessarily one of the strongest films that could have won the Best Picture. But the thing is that every single year in the past, there have been just films like that. And to loop round, unfortunately, I think, and unfairly, Coda will become one of these films that you see showing up in lists going, ah, one of these years where the wrong film won, kind of thing. And it's a real shame, because it doesn't deserve to be a part of that conversation.
It's harsh, because
it is.
As a film, it doesn't deserve that at all.
No, it doesn't.
It's a great little movie.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think...
And it's a shame that the first streaming film, because I think there is a discussion to be had about, wow, you know, this is the first original streaming film to win. It shows that, you know, streaming's takeover of Hollywood and our viewing habits in general are being acknowledged, because, you know, especially after a pandemic when we needed and when we relied on streaming more than any other year. I think it's a very interesting aspect to kind of see that shift in landscape.
I think it's a tough one to argue because streaming is a method of presentation.
Yes.
And if you're going to do that, then I'm going to want best drive-in movie category. I'm going to want best mobile phone category. Do you see how it kind of opens up a can of worms?
I see what you're saying by that. I don't know. I mean, look, it's interesting, and like the fact that we're having these conversations regardless of the of Slapgate 2022. The thing is that, you know, we're still talking about it. There is still discussion around it. And even if Will Smith hadn't behaved atrociously, we'd be talking about something else or some other upset.
Right. It was broadly, I mean, with the exception of demoralizing and decapitating all of the craft categories into obscurity, if you take away the Will Smith thing, then it was kind of on course to have a good evening. And then...
Sort of. I mean, I think it was also quite an unmemorable year with regards to the hosting.
It's a tough gig.
It is a tough gig, and some people do it better than others. I think they did admirably, but it was, I mean, the jokes were very, very low-hanging fruit. It wasn't particularly funny. I can't deny, I thought that all of that was rather disappointing. But, yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll have to tune in next year and see...
Yeah.
If Oscar has changed his tune or is just hammering out the classics.
And there we go.
Indeed. Well, thank you.
Well, no, thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure, like, talking about it. And I think, you know, it is one of those things that we'll see in the coming days, weeks, what happens. But with regards to Will Smith's Oscar.
Indeed.
But, yeah, roll on next year.
So if you like the Oscars roundup, please consider signing up for more of our movie review podcasts. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant movie reaction drops and when an interview is ready to be shared with you. Also, because sometimes films can grow on you, we'll also be adding more roundtable podcasts soon to see if our opinions have changed in the meantime. So until then, please keep safe, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next No Spoiler Reviews podcast. All the best. Bye.